today is Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Let me just read that and then we'll jump into these things together. This is what God's word has to say to us this morning. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So these are verses that have become very particularly important to us as a church family. So I want to tell you a little bit of the story of that. When we landed back in Scotland in March 2009 to plant Harvest Glasgow, we were already even at that point praying that the Lord would allow us to plant more churches. So the 16 people who helped us plant Harvest Glasgow, what we were praying from the very beginning was that we would be a church planting church, or a church plant that would in due course plant more churches. That prayer for multiplication was to do with our desire to be a church that is passionate about the Great Commission, about making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit from Matthew 28. And also from an understanding that planting churches is not just one of the most effective ways to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also the primary biblical picture of how mission primarily happened in the New Testament. So when we establish, so that has led to us establishing recently Rooted Churches, which is the banner under which Harvest Glasgow and Harvest Ayr are going to plant churches from. And that serves as an expression of what we've been praying for over the past, we celebrate 15 years as a church next weekend. And so the past 15 years, we've been really praying about these things. And so how we describe the mission of Rooted Churches is that we exist to plant churches that are gripped by growing in and grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't mean that in some theoretical way or in some kind of overarching organizational or institutional way, because that is not what the church is primarily. It's not primarily an organization or an institution. It's primarily the people who gather together like this. What we are talking about are churches, or church families, or people who belong to church families that are gripped, growing, and grateful. And we're praying that that would bear fruit in church families and people experiencing community such as fuels them in their passionate pursuit of those qualities in their own life. And therefore, as that happens in individuals, that it starts to increasingly happen as we experience life together as a church. It's not that the organization would be these things. It is that you and I and people like us would find their pursuit of faith and faithfulness fueled by being part of the churches that we are planting. Our longing is that it would still be the case even after 15 years as Harvest Glasgow and even after 3 years at Harvest Ayr, which is really Harvest Ayr really serves as an answer to that prayer we started praying 15 years ago when we were able to send Lee and Zoe Ballantyne out and some other folks from our church family here to start a church down there. So the prayer we prayed 15 years ago continues to be our prayer at Harvest Glasgow, that we as Harvest Glasgow, as a church, would continue to and increasingly be gripped by growing in and grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want to unpack what that means and how it involves you. That's really, and what Colossians 2 directs us in regards to those things. So the first thing is being gripped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Don't breathe and swallow at the same time. I don't know what you've been gripped by recently. Maybe it's a box set. I like that. I like a box set with a cliffhanger. Hands up if you like a box set with a cliffhanger, right? We like that. It's like, I didn't see that coming. I need to watch the next episode. Okay, we're gripped by that. I like gripping things. And it causes you to lean in. It causes you to pay more closer attention to that. I need a drink of water, but I'm scared of the water now. And it's a fun thing to be gripped by triviality, okay? You're watching something on the screen, but really it doesn't matter how it ends. You feel a level of attachment with the characters, yes, but really if something bad happens, it's not the end of the world. So it's nice to be gripped by triviality. There's something fun. But I wonder what you truly gripped by in your everyday life. What are you gripped by that really, really matters? What is it your life is gripped by? Is it gripped by a desire for something more? Is it gripped by the presence of something better? That's really what we're talking about here when we see But when Colossians 2 invites us to be gripped by the gospel, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, not our Lord, the Lord, the one Lord, so walk in him. And so the gripped part starts with the therefore at the beginning of that verse. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord. The grip starts with the therefore because it casts our mind back, it casts our eye back to what we see earlier on in Colossians 1, in Colossians 1 in the earlier part of Colossians 2. So if you have hopefully you still have your Bible open, because I'm just going to dance our way through Colossians 1 to help us to see what it is we are called to be gripped by. The therefore is going to tell us what it means to receive Jesus. The therefore is referring back to what Jesus offered those who look to him and take him as Lord. In part, this is telling us what we have received with Christ, but always with the emphasis that the greatest gain we can ever have is not receiving stuff or not receiving these other things. It's actually receiving Jesus himself. The greatest gift that God has given you is Jesus. And to be gripped by that reality. I've noted down, it started as five things to be gripped by him from the earlier part, and it's now grown to 14 things, and I found a couple of other things. I'm just going to buzz through these really quickly, so hopefully you have this open. Okay, first thing, you have hope laid up in heaven, verse 5, the first half of verse 5 tells us that. You have hope laid up in heaven, are we gripped by that? You've been given the truth of the gospel. That's the second half of verse 5, 5b. You have been called to be part of something world-changing. Verse 6, you have been given access to spiritual wisdom and understanding and the opportunity to bear fruit in every good work and increasing knowledge of God and power to endure and be patient with joy. Verses 9 to 11, there was probably about 7 in there. I understand. Okay? You've been qualified. Number 5, you've been qualified to share in the inheritance of those set apart in light. Number 13, you've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Number 7, you've been forgiven of all of your sins by Jesus, who is the one who has set you free. But we should note that those first seven things we receive them because we have received Jesus. Those are the additional benefits to Jesus, who, as we've said, is the main thing. So number 8, you have received Jesus. You've been given a relationship with Jesus. In verses 15 to 20. And so if we're gripped by anything in our lives, that we have received a relationship with him. We are gripped by him because we are gripped by him. And some of you are aware of, okay, you have categories for relationships and understand. We're hitting pause on the list for a moment. You've got categories for relationships. You get categories for relationships, and you understand how relationships work because you have people in your life who you really want a friendship with or you really want to be close to. And it's the same. We never really leave the playground. We always want the relationship with the cool and popular kid. We always want time with the famous and successful people. Number 9, here's the amazing thing. Your heart desires those kind of deeper, meaningful relationships. You've been given friendship with the Son of God. How can we not be gripped by that? You've been given friendship, just to carry on, you've been given friendship with the Son of God who created all things, who rules over all things, who is before all things and holds together all things. It tells us he is preeminent, he is first, he is the highest, he is the greatest in everything. If you want to see where that is, it's in verses 15 to 20. Number 10, you've been changed through your relationship with him when you received him as Lord. How does that work? Well, it tells us once you were not just alienated from God, but hostile towards God by nature of your sin. You were choosing everything apart from God. But Jesus has changed that. He has changed you if you put your trust in him. Number 11, you have been reconciled to God by Jesus dying on a cross for you. Number 12, you will be presented holy, blameless, above reproach before God by Jesus when all of this ends. That's the promise. It's an amazing thing that God, verse 27 of chapter 1 tells us that God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Jesus living in you by his Spirit. That's what received means. Number 13, you have Christ in you and with him the sure hope of being with him forever. And all of this is designed to encourage your heart. Number 14, you have Jesus, and in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that you will ever need. There's a buzz through 14 different things just from one chapter of the Bible, which display the benefits of having a relationship with Jesus and what it means to be found in him, to have received him, as Colossians 2 says. These are 14 things to be gripped by as you consider the gospel. There are 14 things to be gripped by, particularly if you've never trusted Christ, if you don't know what these things mean. I said, I don't have these things. I don't know what these things mean, but I feel like I want them. Then they're offered to you. They're offered to you in Jesus, and the invitation is to come and receive them from him. And if you don't know, and if you want to talk about what that means, we'd love to have a conversation. I would love to have a conversation with you. Or I'm sure whoever you came with, we'd love to have a conversation with you about that. 14 things to be gripped by, and the natural outworking of being gripped by Jesus as Colossians 2, back in Colossians 2, verse 6, says, as you received Christ Jesus, so outworking, outpouring, walk in him. You walk in him. Here's the thing, if you've been gripped by Jesus, then that is going to ripple out into every part of your life. If you've been gripped by Jesus, then that is going to ripple into every part of your life. So you walk, and I noted down some things that walking is not. Walking is not standing still. It's not stagnating, it's not stalling. It is stepping out, it is moving forward, it is making progress. So when you understand what it means to receive Christ, when you understand that you have all of these things that have been applied to you because of him, all of these things that can be real in your life because you've trusted in Jesus and what he did on the cross for you, then you walk in a certain way. You carry yourself a little bit different. First, I just noted down some ways. You walk with honor. You walk with honor. When you understand that Jesus is Lord, you walk in a way that recognizes what an honor it is to receive Jesus as Lord and to be able to live in relationship with him. So you carry yourself with hope and joy and peace. You carry yourself differently when you're walking with honor. You carry yourself through life in such a way as people see while they are living for something different. They're honoring they're living for the honor of something else that I want to know about. We walk with honor. We walk with security. We move through life confidently with a level of confidence because we know the one in whom we have trusted. We walk with intent. We know that we want to live a life that reflects Jesus and represents what we are now gripped by. We walk with clarity, knowing your goal, which involves knowing your goal and not straying from that. I'm clear about what I'm living for. I'm not going to live for anything else. My primary goal is to walk with Jesus. And with that comes walking with integrity. So you've heard and you believed and believe the truth. Now let it inform each step and stage of your life. All of these things are what it means to be gripped. You are so captivated by what God has done for you through Jesus that you can't think of any other way that you'd want to live or anybody else that you would want to live for. Elsewhere in the Bible we find some other things about walking. 1 John 1:6. Says this, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's the integrity piece. We can't have both of those things. We can't say we're walking in the light while also walking in darkness. We can't say we're having fellowship with him while choosing things which go against him or are opposed to him being the Lord of our lives. It says here we lie and do not practice the truth. Galatians 5, verses 24 to 25 give us a snapshot of what it means to walk in a way that reflects what Jesus has done for us. It says this, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And in Colossians 1:10. Walk in a manner worthy of, so still back in Colossians, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So we want our churches to be, and if our churches, then this church, and if this church, that means you, we want you to be gripped by Jesus. And so that means it's going to be being gripped by Jesus. It's going to be invited in preaching. It's going to show up in how we worship. If we're gripped by him, then it was going to be, I can't wait to sing these truths about Jesus. I want everybody to know. I want to sing loudly about how much I love him and how much he means to me. It's going to be spoken in our conversations, in the corridors round about our building, and when we're going out for coffee, and when we're spending time in small groups with one another. We want our churches to be gripped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're gripped by Jesus, leads to us growing in Jesus. So that's the second one, growing, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. Safely navigated the water. There are four components to this. What your life is rooted in, what you are building your life towards, what your life is built upon, and what teaching you're listening to. These things are useful review questions as we come back together after summer. And in reality, they're always good questions to be asking. They give us some direction as to how to ensure progress in what Jesus designs to do in us and how to make sure we are walking in him. So the first question is this: what is my life rooted in? The job of the root in a tree is to nourish and to strengthen. It's digging deepest. It holds the tree in place. It's by definition, it's gripped. It's holding the tree into the ground. I was trying to create a patio area in our back garden, and we've got a tree at the bottom of our garden, and it's amazing how far those roots got. They were constantly in the way of me trying to build the patio, but the tree has stood for a long time precisely because those roots have spread out and is being held in place. And that's a great picture of the tree. Is just a great picture of what God designs and desires to do in our life. He wants to deepen us. He wants to expand our roots. He wants to nourish us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to invite us to continually dig deep into him and what he's done for us. He wants to use the truth of the gospel. He wants to do the truth of what he's done for us in Jesus to hold us in place. As the tree is growing, it's by definition gripped by the roots, holding the tree into the ground, holding the tree into the place as a source of life and security. So what is your life rooted in? Is it in Jesus? Or is it in all the different things that the world is offering you as alternatives to him that you can plant your life in? What is your life rooted in? Second of all, what is my life building towards? So not just rooted, but built up in him. So there's a depth, but then there's also the height aspect to this as well. Built up in him. If your life is a foundation, what are the bricks you're placing upon it? What are you building towards? Just to think about our life, all the different components of our life as individual bricks, our career, maybe our material security, maybe it's a level of popularity and acceptance. What are you using those things in your life to build towards? Are you building towards comfort? Are you building towards retirement? Are you building towards filling your life with stuff? Are you building your life towards some kind of sense of being celebrated with the people right about you, given popularity or prestige or power? What are you building towards? Built up in him, building your the invitation there is to build your life with things that bring you closer to Jesus. Or that better show the story of what Jesus has done for you. When we're built up in him, we're becoming more like him. When we're built up in him, our lives are more shaped by him. Do you want your life to be Jesus-shaped? So what is my life building towards? What is my life built upon? Established. Established in the faith. So not dissimilar to the building up aspect that we just thought about. Here's what we know. It doesn't matter what you are building with if the foundation isn't right. If your foundation isn't right, then the whole building is going to be in jeopardy. Everything could potentially come crashing down. And some of us have experienced that in our lives. We've built upon the wrong thing. We've put our trust in the wrong things. And all of a sudden, everything feels a bit sugary. Everything feels a bit vulnerable. Everything feels as if it could come crashing down at any moment. Our desire for security, our desire for peace, our desire for rest is threatened often because our life is not built on the right things. It doesn't matter what you're building if the foundation isn't right. This tells us we are to be established in the faith. Now, our lives are all built on faith in something. That's likely why it says the faith is being specific. Your life is being built right now on the thing you have most faith in. But is it this faith in Jesus that Colossians 2 is encouraging us to seek? For most of us, it might be a mixture of our preferences around about health or happiness or having stuff. If we are healthy or happy and have what we want, and if that is the experience of those nearest and dearest to us, then all the better, and we seem satisfied with that. But what if it's not? What if those things of healthy, happy, having stuff is threatened? We need a deeper foundation. We need a stronger foundation in being established in the faith. This idea of being established in the faith invites our lives to be established upon something deeper and stronger than anything the world can offer us. The faith, your trust in Jesus, your confidence in him, your dependence upon the Holy Spirit, the things that God's word invites you to be convinced of and the convictions it directs you to hold. Those are the things you get to build your life upon. Those are the sure and certain things that you can trust in. So when you've received Jesus, when you've Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is what your life is built upon, and there is something unshakable about that. And here's something else we know about the foundations of a house. The foundations of the house shape everything about the house. The walls are built upon those foundations, so they shape that. They provide the access to how high and how wide and how deep the building can go. So is your foundation in the faith? Are you seeking to understand and grow in what it means to have faith in Jesus? Are you digging deeper into truth to understand the one you have faith in? Is your life being shaped by the foundations of your faith in Jesus, or is it being shaped by the foundations of something else? Fourth question is, what teaching am I paying attention to? What teaching am I paying attention to? As you were taught, that's been established in faith, just as you were taught. What we're taking in matters hugely. The truth of the gospel is, and understanding the truth of the gospel is massively important to us walking in what we've received from Jesus and in Jesus. So what teaching am I paying attention to is the fourth question. No generation has ever had the level of access to the volume of teaching that this generation has. We could say that just about access to printed media, books and so on. And that is without considering websites, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and we could go on and on and on and on. Which serves as an opportunity, but also offers some dangers too. So I came up with a short list of some questions for us to consider, even in terms of the kind of teaching. What teaching are we paying attention to? Are the voices that we're mainly listening to, the voices that are feeding our souls and informing our lives, are they helping us to be established in the truth? Are they helping us to be built up in him? Are they helping us to be rooted in him? So the question, how do they define and apply the gospel? Is what they are teaching reliant on our work or on God's grace? Is what they are teaching consistently in line with what Scripture has to say in the matter? Are they proof texting? Are they just taking verses out of the various parts of the Bible just to prove their point or to be able to say what they want to say with some kind of biblical evidence, even though it's totally ripped out of context? Do they promise what God's word doesn't? Do they require what the gospel says is finished? Are they preoccupied with something that is not a major focus of God's word? Do they exalt Jesus or do they esteem you or someone else, including the author? Now, that's an interesting one because we like books that esteem us, who tell us nice things about ourselves, and we need to be careful about that. We want Jesus to be the one who's lifted higher than we are, and so that we can look to him. Are we allowing their strength in one area to mask their error in other places? So there's some folks who write very well or speak very well in certain things, but they are off track on other areas. We need to be discerning around about those things. Last question, would our church have them come to preach? It's maybe not an unhelpful question. Would we have them come to preach? Would we be confident, and would the elders of our church be confident in their preaching? And amongst all of that, the call here is to be discerning. The three other things, rooted, built up, established in the faith, just as you were taught. What we are taught is the grounding for the other things. Our understanding of the gospel and what that means for us, our understanding of what that tells us, is the thing that's going to help us to be rooted and built up and established. So the call here is to be discerning, which is not the same as cynical, and it's not the same as critical. It's being so alert to love. It's being so alert to love truth that you know when something is off. So it's not becoming a heresy hunter. It's not scouring the internet. Someone in the internet is wrong. It's not that. So our encouragement around about all these things for the last 15 years has to be more about what you are for than what you are against, and allowing what you are for to shine a light and keep you clear. As you were taught, as a reminder, to let the loudest voice in your life be God's word and the greatest influence on your life be the gospel. That's what it means to be growing in the gospel. And then finally, grateful. Gripped, growing, grateful, abounding in thanksgiving. Are you grateful for the gospel this morning, I wonder? Even as we've sung songs which have reflected upon the gospel and what God has done for us, are you grateful for the gospel? Are you grateful for the grace of God in your life? Are you grateful that you've been given a relationship with God through Jesus? If the answer to those questions is yes, then there is no upper limit on what is an appropriate measure of gratitude. A token thanksgiving or thankfulness won't do. A grudging gratitude or reserved recognition is not what this has in mind. It says abounding in thanksgiving, overflowing in thanksgiving. The fruit of being gripped by and growing in the gospel is an overflowing thankfulness. It's being filled to the point of overflowing. It's like this. I have hope laid up in heaven. Back to our list from the beginning, okay? Do you remember it? I have hope laid up in heaven. I've been given the truth of the gospel. I've been called to be part of something world-changing. I've been given access to spiritual wisdom and understanding. I've been qualified to share an inheritance of those set apart in light. I've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. I've been forgiven of all my sin by Jesus, who is the one who has set me free. I've received Jesus. I've been given a relationship with Jesus. I've been given friendship with God the Son, who is the first and the highest and the greatest. I've been changed through my relationship with him. When I received him as Lord, I have been reconciled to God by Jesus dying on the cross for me. I will be presented holy, blameless, above reproach before God by Jesus when all of this ends. I have Christ in me, and with him the sure hope of being with him forever. I have Jesus, and in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that I will ever need. My life makes most sense when it is rooted in him. My life is most purpose when it is building towards him. My life is most secure when it is built upon him. My life is best when it is paying attention to him. It's understanding all of those things. Hey, Michael. And asking somebody, would you like a drink? Okay? That's the picture. It's the what's going to happen if I open that can? We're all going to get wet with the Sprite that Roger Boyd very kindly supplied me with. But it should be exactly like that. We should be so gripped by and growing in the gospel that whenever our lives are opened up, whenever our lives come into contact with someone else, everybody gets a bit wet with the thanksgiving that we have. Everybody comes into contact with our joy and our gladness of what Jesus has done for us. It spills into our conversation. It floods our thinking. It is seen in how we worship. So what kind of church do we want to be? Well, that starts with the kind of Christians that we want to be. What kind of churches do we want to plant? We want to plant churches that are gripped by, growing in, and grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's lots to be gripped by. There's no end to what we can grow in. And we have so much to be grateful for because of what Jesus has done for us. Let me pray. Father, we recognize even in the moments of thinking about these things, it's easy for us to be distracted from how glorious you are, to think that we don't need you or we don't want you, or we want to manage how much of you we have. But that's not what it means to be gripped, and that's not what it means to be grateful. And that's a major hindrance to us growing. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to look to you, to see you more clearly. Father, we recognize that much of what we've thought about this morning is applicable to us right now, but also as preparation for things that are to come. And even as we've thought about that idea of overflowing thankfulness, abounding in thankfulness, Father, we pray that that would make us ready to come, ready next weekend, ready on Friday night as we prepare to worship you and to give thanks to you for your faithfulness to us as we celebrate 15 years. Father, we pray that you would stir within us a desire to be overflowing, even as we sing now. We pray that you would have been preparing our hearts for declaring to you that we want to crown you Lord of all. We want you to be first. We want you to be highest. We want you to be greatest. Greater than anything, higher than anything, first before anything in our lives. So help us to live for you, we pray. Help us, give us grace to plant churches that are gripped by growing and grateful for the gospel. But do that work among us first, we pray. In Jesus' name.